Now. There we go. Now we're working. What a glorious day to be here today. I don't know what to say for sure. This may be my last time to be speaking in front of you for a while. I'm so happy to hear, though, that we have a new minister coming in and replacing me. But if you're one of our guests today, I just hope that you'll stick around and get to meet some of us, that you'll hear something maybe today that will apply to you, will help you in your walk, and you're looking for Christ, or you're looking for answers in this life. And for the rest of us, a lot of what I'm going to say today is probably old news, but you know, sometimes, usually whenever I get up in front of you, it's whatever touches my heart right at the moment is what I try to bring to you, and so I hope that this helps somebody today. Recently, I went to California, and for those who didn't know, I went to Oklahoma. I kind of got that one backwards. Sorry about that. Recently, I went with my California family to visit my Oklahoma family. See, if I read my notes, I'd get this right. We had 2 weeks of hot, humid, and no shortness of bugs, but that's not why I went. I went because I had one reason alone, to visit my one-month-old grandson, Oliver, and his three-year-old brother, Noah. So let me see. I got to show you a couple little pictures real quick, if you don't mind. There's Noah actually smiling. Look at that. Isn't that something? And here's Noah on the left, and I wish you could see this better. This is my son, Marshall, with no hair. So just in case you're wondering, who's that bald guy? That's Marshall, and that's Jimmy, my son, in the middle. So what a wonderful time it was. We had a great time being there. Noah is so smart. I tell you, 3 years old. Three-year-olds, they remember everything. Just for you that have forgotten that. I tell you, every Disney movie he's ever watched, he can sing every song in every Disney movie. It's just amazing. And he's smart as a whip. The other day, I was there, you know, on the 4th of July, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table talking with my son Jimmy, and I don't remember what we're talking about. Noah had gone into his room to take his quiet time, his nap, or whatever you want to call it. And so he went in there, and we could hear him in there messing around, and we're thinking, okay, he'll fall asleep eventually, he'll lay down. And shortly, we hear the door open just a little bit, and we both look around, and he comes strolling out just like, he says, "Good morning." We're like, no, Jimmy gets up and takes him back in the room and sets him back down again. We had a lot of fun times like that. I remember I got to feed the baby quite a bit. Isn't that wonderful? It's just so much fun, just sitting there feeding him and burping him and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I've just finished feeding him, I've burped him, and I'm just talking to him. I got him in my hands just like this, and I'm talking to him. And he big smile. He's, what, 5 weeks old, something like that? I don't remember what it was. This big smile, and I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. So I keep talking to him. Maybe it was a gas or something. I don't know. But he smiles a second time. And then he smiles like a full mouth, like open smile. I'm like, no one's in there with a phone. No one's filming this, right? In fact, there wasn't anybody witnessing it. So later that evening, I had to point it out to my son. We were all in the living room, and I said, you know, he was smiling at me today. Twice, three times in a row. I know it was fact. No, it's just gas. They don't smile at this time and everything like that. And so with some prodding from Cindy, she's like, he smiled at me too. He went and he says, oh, okay. And so he looks it up on Google and he's like, oh, no. See, it says right here, you know, six, five, as early as, oh, well, I guess it's possible. The next day, I swear, the next day, up pops on Facebook, pictures with mom, him smiling at mom, pictures of him smiling at dad. It was like, hey, wait a minute, he smiled at me first. But anyways, I just want everybody to understand that my grandsons are the cutest. So, okay, just pointing that out. But anyways, when we first got back, I had a lot of mixed feelings. I was glad to be home. You know how it is. You've 2 weeks driving there, driving back and everything. I was already missing my kids. I was, we're already making plans when we're going to go back next or when they're going to come visit. We've got all these things going on, all these feelings, all these memories, all these thoughts are just springing into our minds all the time. You go from 1 minute being relieved, you're home and happy, and the next minute thinking, oh, you're sad because you're not going to get to see him, you know, have to go get his first tooth and all the other things that's going to go on with my son and with my grandson. And it made me stop and think that what is really important, and I got to thinking about how time is a funny thing. Time is, it's we can only spend time. You can only spend time. You can't save time. You can't recover time. You can invest time, but even as you invest a time, you only get whatever time returns at the end. So you never know what's going to happen when we're talking about time. The only exception to that is if you're living in the now. Because right now is the only time that I have any power to do anything over it. All that stuff that I wished I could have done when I was back in Oklahoma, all the things that I'm planning to do whenever the next year or the year after, they're all just dreams because the only thing I can do is what I'm doing right now. And so I want to just take a few minutes and just stop and talk about that, because there's a lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda done's in my life. But I've got to figure out how can I live life in the fullest. First, I decided that I've got to stop letting what happened in the past rule over who I am today. How many of us do that all the time? The past is just, the past should be just a stepping stone, a walk along a path that I'm able to go back and I can look that it got me from there to now. Now, lots of times I don't look at it that way. I look at it as a bunch of breaks and problems. I look at it as hills and valleys and all these things that are in my path. And though those things are true, they are, it doesn't make any of them worse or better than the last thing, because I am still where I am right now. And that's what made me that way. No matter what your current situation is today, it's made up of a path set by your past. When my wife and son and I, we moved to Oklahoma for 3 months, and we moved back from Oklahoma, we took a road trip in our car. And along the way, I wrote this down so I don't forget how I said this exactly, that we had a confrontation with a rock that had rolled onto the road in the rain with 3 cats in the car and no cell phone service. We arrived to Ventura to go to an apartment building to get to the apartment that we were planning to rent, to find out that the place was just a garbage dump. And we decided not to rent. And so we've gone all this way getting there just to find out that the place that we want to rent is a place we don't want to rent. Talk about a pain. At the time, it was trauma, it was drama, it was everything that was going on in our lives right then. Was why? Why didn't we take another path? Why didn't we brave the storm? Why didn't I drive safer? Why didn't we do X, Y, Z? It was all about what happened in the past. But now I'm able to step back just a little bit and I'm able to look at it. And what I realize is that whole journey is over with, and it got me to where I am today. It's a journey to the present, to the now. I have to live in the now. In the end, it's the only thing to care about is what's unfolding right now in my life. I'll never forget the trip. I just can't let it rule me. It can't let it dictate my now. David, the greatest king in Israel, now I want you to think about this. He got a man pregnant. That would be difficult. He was a man who got a woman pregnant. He got a man's wife is what I wrote down, and I skipped the wife part. Got a man's wife pregnant. Okay. Had the man killed. Then he married the woman, and they had a son. And David said, whew, dodged a bullet. God hadn't struck him dead. He had not been, there's no evidence that there was any kind of a negative connotation that came out of this. David was home free. Oh man, I'll never do that again. Have you ever done that? You ever put yourself in a situation, you had some problem happen, and after you got through it, you went, oh, thank you, God, for getting me through that conversation, that confrontation, that problem. But what happened with David wasn't, it didn't stop there, because this man named Nathan, which must have annoyed David excessively, because he comes to him and he tells him a story about a man who had all the sheep he wanted to serve, and he went and took the pet lamb of his next door neighbor and cooked it for dinner when a friend came. And David was livid, and he says, we'll kill that guy. He's a dead man. He said, you're that person. And we read in this passage right here, it says, while the child, was told by Nathan that his son was going to die because of this. And so David went into a room, and for several days, doesn't say how long, he just prayed. God, please, please let it be over. Please, God, don't hurt my son. Please. And he prayed. I don't know what he prayed. Some of the Psalms kind of give a hint as to what he said. But in the end, he comes out, and his servants go, what are you doing? He came out, and you're eating, you're just acting like everything's normal now? And this is what you've said. He says, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, thinking God might have mercy on me and the child would live. But now that he's dead, why fast? Can I bring him back now? I can go to him, but he can't come to me. What a man can say this? But isn't this true? The son, while he was in with some hope, while in the time that he had now, he prayed, God, please, God, please, God, please, don't take my son. The son died. What did he do? Did he live in the past all those times when he's saying, God, please, or did he step out of that into his new now and he said, it's over. The son has died. I've got to keep going on. I got to keep walking my steps. And what happened then is that same woman, the same one that bore him a son, the same one that he had robbed from Uriah the Hittite, the same one that had become his wife, bore him a second son. And his son's name was Solomon. We read these words in Solomon from... Okay, where'd it go? Well, I guess I didn't put them on there. But here, I'll just read it to you. Solomon, he says, forgetting the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Well, that's what it says up there, anyways. Oh, well, anyways, that's from pride. I'm sorry, I'm all confused here. So, I apologize. I'm really bad at these slide things. I tell you that every time I do this. Anyways, forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. We have to trust in God and live for today. Now, this is a prophet Isaiah, but it applies to what Solomon says. And at the end, I remember now, I moved it to the end. We'll read what Solomon, his son, says later. But what happens is that we have to learn to trust in God because the former things are in the past. We can't dwell on those. We have to look forward to the fact that God has something planned for the future. However, there's also a second mistake I had, and that's for thinking about the future. See, it's easy for me now to start making plans for when I'm going to go back and visit my son, making plans for what I'm going to do in this church, making plans for what's going to happen today or tomorrow, and what's going to happen with my job, and what's going to happen with my family, and what's going to happen when Ben goes off to school, and all the different things I'm thinking, what's Ben, blah, 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 and all this stuff going off into the future. But the fact is that I have no more idea of what's going to happen in the future than any of the rest of you do. I can make plans for the future, but the future is in God's hands. Let's read what it says in James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Sounds like a plan I would make. Why? You do not even know what will happen to you tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live, do this, do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. I love that phrase. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, to them it is sin for them. Arrogant schemes. I love the way he says that, because all that means is that my arrogant schemes have nothing to do with my plans. It's the fact that I think I'm in charge. That I think I have control over the future, when I have no more control than any of the rest of us. I got to thinking about the people in Ridgecrest recently, in Trona especially. Can you imagine being living there? They wake up in the morning, and what are they thinking their day is going to be like? I don't know what they thought their day was going to be like, but I'll almost guarantee you they didn't think they were going to have a massive earthquake. Can you imagine the fear, the worry that went from being nothing to extreme in such a short amount of time? Imagine what you guys felt. I was in Oklahoma, so I'm good. But imagine what you guys felt whenever you first felt that earthquake. What are you thinking? Just what went through your mind immediately? Did you think, oh no, here it comes, the earthquake. Ventura is going to fall off into the ocean. My house is going to fall on me. What happened to you? Like that, all your plans that you had for that day, for that moment, changed. Why? Because you didn't have control of the future. You never have control. I live in the future sometime. I count on it for life to get better. Does that sound like you? I count on the future because I want life to get better. Or maybe I dread what'll happen tomorrow. Oh no, I've got to preach tomorrow. What do? You dread what happens tomorrow. You're looking forward to tomorrow to be better. You're looking for tomorrow because I hope it's not as bad as I think it will be. The truth is, I'm a notorious procrastinator. Okay, I'm just going to break that out and let everybody in on that. I know Ben says he's the biggest, but I'm just as guilty. That being a procrastinator is just another way of saying that I put off till tomorrow what I could do today. You see, tomorrow is tomorrow. Tomorrow is what does it say on, of course I heard it on Kung Fu Panda. Yeah, the past, wait a minute, I'll get it in a second. The past is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. I don't know why that always touches me. I love that thought. Today is a gift. This moment's a gift. That's why it's the present. That's why we get what we have. So, you've heard there are two kinds of sin. Probably everybody in here has heard this, okay? There are two kinds of sin. One is called a sin of omission, and the other is a sin of commission, okay? Now, a sin of commission is when I knowingly do something I know I shouldn't. I lied. I ran the red light. I did something that I shouldn't do. I sinned, okay? That is one kind of sin. Its sister or brother or whatever it is, side of it is the sin of omission. Now, the sin of omission comes from this verse that we were reading right here. It says, for anyone that knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. Okay, it's the idea that I know I should be doing X, Y, Z, but I'll put it off till tomorrow, or I won't do it. It's something I know I should be doing, but I'm not doing. That's a sin of omission. I will argue with you, though, that in my life, I have greatly misused this idea of the sin of omission. Because the sin of omission meant that I purposely put off something. But in reality, what it means is that I'm not trusting God. What it means is that Eddie is trusting Eddie. Whenever I say the sin of omission, that means that I know what's going to happen to me and I know my future better than God does. Whenever we just read this right here just before, it says that you say that you're going to go to this city, you're going to go to that city, you're going to make money, you're going to do all this kind of stuff. He says, you don't even know what you're going to do tomorrow. That's what the sin of omission is about. The sin of omission is about the fact that I'm sitting here saying, I'm going to do tomorrow what I should be doing right now. The sin of omission is whenever I can help somebody now, but I'm going to do it tomorrow. I can do something good now, but I need to do something else first. But you only have this moment. While you're sitting there in a pew, whatever you're doing, or chairs, whatever those are, that while you're sitting there, this moment is all you've got. So how do I live in the now? I suppose this is a simple sermon, but it's got a really difficult idea behind it. And I don't know how to answer this in the next 2 minutes, but I can read from the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount says this, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly, certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what'll we eat? What'll we drink? What'll we wear? What'll we do tomorrow? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Getting back to what James said, but your heavenly Father knows all your needs. So seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. I don't know about you, but I need this lesson. I need to be able to be reminded to quit living in the past. All the things that I regret. All the things that I should have done or could have done or would have done. I need to quit focusing on something in the future that hasn't even happened yet and maybe never will. When I have plenty to do right here while I'm standing in front of you. This is something that I think all of us need to get around, because it can't be done by Eddie. That's what got me here, right? It can't be done by me logicking myself into this. It can only be done by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then everything gets added to us. It's the same thing as what James said. Why do you even know what you're just a mist? Instead, if it's the Lord's will, that's what we should be doing. Sometimes I use that as an excuse. I go, well, you know, I don't know what's going on, so I'm just going to say, okay, God, if it's the Lord's will or God willing, and I kind of throw it in there, right? Okay, well, I'll see you tomorrow, God willing. Yep, yeah, I'm going to go home and take a rest, God willing. I think I'll go have something to eat, God willing. I'll just kind of throw it in there. What that's saying is that it's not about Eddie. It's turning to God and saying, God, what do you say? It's praying to God and saying, God, how do you want to direct my life? It's saying, God, what can I do in this moment? So how about starting right now, living in the moment? You can live in tomorrow's moment tomorrow, if the moment comes. Today is just a stepping stone to tomorrow. I don't know if any of this helped you, if any of this will encourage you, and mostly it'll probably be just remind you. But the fact is that I needed the reminding. Thank you for letting me speak today. And with that, I just want to say one more thing. Let go and let God. While we stand and sing.